Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window to the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rota. Our guest today is Macmillan Publishers Sustainability Manager, Lisa Williams, who has a passion for exploring the outdoors and lots of experience developing waste management programs. So I asked her to join us today to share some insights on how to lead a more sustainable lifestyle. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get started, I want to say thanks to this episode's sponsor, Betterment. Betterment is the smarter automated investing service, helping people to better manage, protect, and grow their wealth through leading technology. The service offers a globally diversified portfolio of ETFs designed to help provide you with the best possible expected returns for retirement planning, building wealth, and other savings goals. Betterment is a CNBC Disruptor 50 and Webby Award winner and has been featured in the New York Times, Forbes, and the Wall Street Journal. Betterment helps people to achieve a smarter financial future with minimal effort and for a fraction of the cost of traditional financial services. Learn more at quickanddirtytips.com/offers. So Lisa, I think a lot of people want to think about being more sustainable and environmentally friendly at home, and especially in the kitchen. So what kinds of tips do you have for them?
Yeah, so there are a lot of things that people can do. One of the biggest things you can do, depending on, you know, if you have outdoor space available or if your city provides it, is composting your food waste. And so that would be taking the leftover scraps after you prep your meal that you're not going to eat and saving them to either take it down to the farmer's market and compost it, or using a backyard composting bin and composting it there. Food waste makes up about 30% of the waste in our local landfills. So by eliminating it from going to the landfill and in return turning it into a beautiful soil amendment that actually goes back to the farm, that's a great way to kind of reduce your environmental impact in your kitchen. Other things that you could do would be to install low-flow faucets on your kitchen. I actually did that in our whole building. It was really easy. All it took was my hands and a new little faucet. I got it really inexpensively at our local homeware shop, and you can reduce your water flow by up to one-third doing that. I know that's especially important in the West Coast right now where they're experiencing a major drought. So another thing, my husband and I eat a lot of takeout because we just don't have time to cook right now as much as we want to. And some of the things that we've been doing in order to eliminate waste that way is asking the restaurant that we order from not to include chopsticks and plastic cutlery because we don't need it. We end up, you know, throwing it away or putting it in a little bin to save for another day, which we never end up using. So just by eliminating that, I mean, it's a small amount of waste, but still a little goes a long way in terms of, you know, waste and energy efficiency in your kitchen. Some of the other things we do, too, is when we do get takeout, we'll reuse those Tupperwares when we go to, say, you know, a friend's barbecue or a potluck. So we can reuse those Tupperwares, wash them out, and then leave them with our friends and not have to worry about leaving, you know, nice Tupperware over there.
And packing lunch for work is another good one, too. I always feel like I run out of containers.
Oh, exactly.
Let's go back to water waste for a minute. What are a few other ways you can reduce water waste in the kitchen?
One of the most underlooked things, I think, would be filling your dishwasher, if you have one, fully. That's one thing, you know, I've gone over to friends' house and they'll, you know, put a couple of dishes in there and run it just because they don't want to wash it. That actually, dishwashers waste a lot of water, but they can be really efficient compared to hand washing if you fill up your load fully. So I definitely recommend using a full load dishwasher. Also, you know, when you're washing vegetables or rinsing produce and stuff, if you can put it in a large colander and put it in your sink, or maybe a big bucket that you fill up with water and rinse it that way, you can help reduce a lot of water. It's really, you know, the constant flowing faucet that's just going to keep wasting water.
One of the sustainability initiatives at Macmillan that Lisa and I both participate in is community-supported agriculture. And I think this time of year, people are really interested in going to the farmer's market and seeing what's in season locally. I want to talk a little bit about the concept of food miles and how that relates to eating locally and how that can help impact your shopping decisions.
Yeah, so food miles relates to the way that your food is transported from the point of production till it reaches the consumer. Studies show that food often travels over 1,500 miles before it reaches your plate, which means that it's less fresh. If you think about it, that means that the produce was picked over a week ago. It's been transported using tons of fuel and being refrigerated where to the point where it was nearly frozen. And it just is lacking that taste and nutrition by the time that it reaches your plate. So by joining or participating in a community-supported agriculture or, you know, going to the farmer's market or even going to a local produce stand that sources food within 300 miles, I mean, your food is most likely going to be way more tasty, way more fresh than it would be if, you know, you're getting stuff from Chile.
And let's talk generally about some of the benefits of eating seasonally and locally, not just for the environment, but also the quality of the food that you're getting.
Yeah, so when you buy locally and what's in season, it's going to stay fresher longer, which means that you're actually getting more bang for your buck because it's less likely to expire on you. Another thing is that smaller farms tend to take better care of their soils. They're using less herbicides and pesticides. It doesn't necessarily need to be organic, but typically when you get that no-spray farm that some farms represent, you're getting more minerals and nutrients in the soil, which in return go into the food and into our bodies. So really, besides just staying fresher longer, you're getting a higher quality produce overall. And when it's in season, it's kind of making you and forcing you to get creative with your food. You know, like I go and sometimes I don't even know how to pronounce the names of these vegetables, but I'm like, what am I going to do with this? And by asking myself, what am I going to do with this? I also interact with the farmer, which then gets me to know, you know, my local area more, support the local farmers more, and just, you know who's growing my produce. That's pretty cool. And I think we've kind of lost that interaction over the years with, you know, large chain grocery stores.
Absolutely. I think it's really important to keep in mind that a lot of these things are really small things that you can do. And they're not only better for the environment, but they're also better for your body and also for the community. So it's really, I think it's very rewarding to start thinking about some of these issues.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd love to have you talk through a few simple recipes, just sort of outlines of what you make with some of those things that are in season now, and also some strategies for storing vegetables. I know that people get really overwhelmed by having a surplus of zucchini when they're in season or greens. And what are some ways that you can extend the lifespan of those vegetables so that you really get to use as much of them as possible?
So right now, a lot of leafy greens are in season, including some root vegetables. And one thing I love to do is when I go shop at the farmer's market or a local produce stand, I look for beets with leaves on them. Often you'll find beets and they already have the leaves cut off when they're in, you know, commercial grocery stores, which makes sense because the leaves actually, when they're left on the beet for long periods of time, the leaves will extract the minerals and nutrients from the beet. So one thing you do is when you get your beets fresh, you want to cut off the leaves immediately. And so what I like to do is I cut them off, I rinse them off, and I actually store them in Tupperware with some paper towels. It allows some moisture to be left inside the Tupperware but not be soaking wet at the same time to create mildew and mold. But at the same time, it keeps it really fresh and nice and crispy. And then what I like to do with my leafy greens is lately I've actually been really into making smoothies with them. At first, I was like, vegetables in your smoothie doesn't sound so good, but they're actually delicious. So I've been mixing apples and ginger with beet leaves or spinach and kale and uncooked oatmeal. And the uncooked oatmeal really kind of adds like a nice fiber and gives you like a good amount of carbohydrates. And then adding nut butters gives you a good amount of fats for it. And then I like to add either some hemp or flaxseed into it to give like a good amount of protein and fiber as well. And it's just, you know, it's a great way to start the morning, I think. And you're also eating leafy greens at the same time, which gives you a good amount of vitamin K. Other things that are in season right now would be radishes. Radish leaves are another underutilized part of the plant. I think often they're just immediately cut off and thrown away. But I've been making delicious radish pestos with it. And also rhubarb is in season right now, and strawberries are in season many places around the United States. And who doesn't love a delicious rhubarb strawberry pie, especially when it's local?
there is always that thing that people say, which I guess is a farmer thing, that things that grow together go together. So there's sort of, you can go to the farmer's market and you can pick up some things that happen to be in season and be creative. And I find that usually that's a pretty good way to come up with a meal idea. I'm really enthusiastic about beet greens also. I find that if you roast the beets and then saute the beet greens, and then I do that in pasta with goat cheese, and that's one of my favorite meals this time of year.
That sounds delicious.
What other things can people keep in mind in the kitchen to make the preparation and storage of fresh vegetables as easy as possible?
Yeah, so one of the things that I actually learned from you, Kara, was when I get all my vegetables from the CSA, you know, sometimes you just have too much and you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this in the next day or two. But actually, some of the vegetables like zucchini and even onions too, like you can chop up beforehand, like just take, you know, bunches of zucchini and onions and cut them up together and store them in the refrigerator and use them throughout the week. I think that's an excellent tip. You're more likely to use something if it's already semi-prepped in your fridge than, you know, breaking out all of the utensils in order to make it in the first place.
I feel like that's so much less intimidating too when you open the fridge and there are sort of some nice containers of things that are ready to be cooked instead of giant bags of greens that are covered in sand.
Yeah.
And I've since learned that you can actually freeze a lot of pre-chopped vegetables too. So like red pepper is one where if you just chop them up and stick them in a plastic bag in the freezer, you can use them in stir fries or soups or anything else.
Yeah, perfect. I've been actually even freezing my kale. Like if I go out and get big bunches of kale, I'll wash them, chop them up, and put them in the freezer, and then that's what I'm throwing into my smoothies on top of pizza, anything like that. Freezing also locks in a lot of the nutrients, too. I think it's been kind of a common misconception that people think, like, frozen food is old food, but actually, if you get fresh food right away and freeze it, it's going to lock in the nutrients rather than just leaving in the refrigerator for 2 weeks.
Great. Well, these are some really helpful tips. I love that they're all such small things that are easy to do, but really do have a significant impact, not just environmentally, but also on your lifestyle. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.